me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Fulfilling my own destiny. Yes. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in this great, big, vast world of ours. You are listening to Purpose Talk Radio, and I am Cindy Freeman, your host. Today we're going to talk about the purpose of expressing gratitude for all things. Lots of us use November to express gratitude as a general rule. But, you know, there's lots of things we've learned growing up as to how to express gratitude. Some of them may have fallen to the wayside. I'd like to bring some of those up today and remind us of the importance of those processes as we go through life. In part, I'm probably trying to do it mainly for myself, but since you're listening, I'd like to share some of those with you. As I said, this is Purpose Talk Radio. We air every Monday at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern, and normally 8 p.m. in the UK, but right now they have not yet changed to daylight savings time, so it is, I believe, 9 o'clock in the UK right now. We have a couple more weeks on that. What the show is about is something very simple. People who are living their purpose, came to achieve it, want to share how they came to know what that is, how they came to achieve that purpose, and what you might be able to glean from their experience. So I think one of the most important ways that people do become successful is through expressing gratitude. And that's why we're doing that today. We don't have a specific guest, so if you'd like to participate in this conversation, you are more than welcome to do so. Actually, you're welcome to do so anytime we are on the air, but specifically today. And there are a couple ways you can do that. If you are listening to us on the Blog Talk Radio site, you can do that by scrolling down to the bottom of the page for the show and joining us in the chat room at the bottom there. The other way is to go to Facebook and the group Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. And there'll be shortly a post pinned to the top of the page regarding this particular show. And then, if that's not enough for you, and you'd like to participate live, there are two ways you can do that. If you are listening via Skype, that's one of the good ways. The other is to call in my phone at 347-205-9074. And in either of those cases, whether it be by Skype or by phone, if you touch the one on your keypad, I'll know that you want to talk to us and join in the conversation. Otherwise, I may leave you there. I may pick up the call anyway, just to see if you are listening when we get the chance. If you are someone who wants to share your wisdom, your knowledge as to living purpose, please do send me an email. We've got guests scheduled for the next couple of weeks. Next week we will have Patricia Sobchak. And then the following week we will have Chris Nelson. Now, Patricia is, one of the things she's going to share is what it's like to live life in a wheelchair. She has had polio. Been diagnosed with polio and has lived her life, in the wheelchair. And she'd like to share what that means. And I'd invite some other guests who I have who are friends in the similar situation share also, and that it is just a characteristic that they live with, not necessarily something people should be scared of or shying away from. Because I know a lot of people don't know, should they help, should they not help, what does all that mean? We're going to be touching on that. And then the following week is Chris Nelson. She is a coach, life coach, and will be guiding us along the meditation. And I will actually be using meditation of hers later in this show today. I heard it the other day at a drum circle and absolutely loved it. Asked her to come on the show today, but she was not available. So we've scheduled her for the first Monday in December. And instead, right now, sometime today, I'll be using her meditation and then have her do another one when she comes on in December. We are open to guests of any career path. And like I said, you can get a hold of me through the website at purposetalkradio.com. PURPOSETALKRADIO.com. And if you wish to send me an email message directly, it's simply Cindy, CINDY, at PurposeTalkRadio.com. On the other hand, maybe you've got a service or product that you'd like to share with our folks that will help them achieve their purpose. You can do that as well by sending me an email. And we've got a couple of different marketing packages that might be of interest to you that you can, partake in. And we can talk about that as your interest might be there. So one more little piece of housekeeping information. That wonderful song you heard called I Am Who I Am, which is the theme song for Purpose Talk Radio, was created by the group True Trinity. The woman on vocals is one of the co-writers. Her name is Julia Clark. Also, Rachel Martinez and myself were part of that co-write. And you can find their songs, their information at TrueTrinity.com. TrueTrinity.com. Yeah, I think that's all of the logistics and the housekeeping things I'd like to share with you today. So we can get into the meat of the matter here. And as I said, I'd like to talk to you about expressing gratitude in all areas of your life and in everything that you encounter. When we're little kids, a lot of times it's our parents who tell us, oh, go over by Aunt Susie and tell her thank you for that gift. Or sit down right now, right at the kitchen table, and write Uncle George a thank you note. That was pretty much what I had in my life. So I had very good role models in my parents for gratitude. But, you know, as I got older, it got harder to write the letter, write the thank yous. And I admit that. It's funny because I really am a writer, and yet some of those things are hard to do because I can never quite express the gratitude that I really feel. I think that's part of it. It's hard to write, you know, what's inside and how I'm feeling about receiving a specific gift. You know, on the other hand, I know it's an important thing to do because that's how I was raised, and that, you know, I've seen the impact of it. And I love when someone sends me a card that says thank you for doing something nice or for being a part of something or helping out. It just is a really nice acknowledgement that, you know, that they know you took the time to care and be a part of whatever was happening in their life. So, what I ended up shying away from though, it's like, okay, so-and-so gives you a card, then you send back a thank you card, you know, here's a Merry Christmas card. Thank you for the Merry Christmas. Some of that has gotten a bit extreme. And one of the things that I got into over the years, and I saw my family doing too, is someone sent a Christmas card, so we sent a Christmas card back. Someone sent a birthday card, so you got to make sure when that person's birthday comes up, you got to send the birthday card back. Part of that is routine and ritual, and yet it's an expression of caring for people and how they are in life. So I find it kind of, what do I want to call it? Relaxing and just, it's a way of expression of showing care instead of just gratitude. But gratitude goes along with caring. One of the things that I've gotten into doing a bit more lately is the gratitude journals, or adding gratitude to my playlist and making sure that in addition to asking for things or affirming that they are done already, which is more of my prayer life, I add the thank you for having it done already. In this way, I express the gratitude ahead. I acknowledge that it's going to happen. And then I move forward with it. Gives me a chance to share in my day with myself. It gives me the chance to slow down just a little bit and acknowledge that life doesn't always have to be super fast. Instead, what it has to be is worth the time and worth the energy for things to happen. So I hope that makes some sense. And feel free to put some comments on the Facebook page or in the chat room or whatever pertaining to this if you'd like. So now, I guess I want to talk a little bit about how to do gratitude journals. Because there's many, many, many ways to do them. And many things that you can acknowledge in those gratitude journals. Many interesting things. There's no two people probably do them the same. We've probably heard Oprah or on some other talk show that each day, if you can put five things in the morning and five things at night that you're grateful for, that's a good start. And it is. It's a good way to start the day and end the day. For me, it's like when I do them, I write until I stop thinking about them. In other words, if the list is two or three at the moment, then I do that. If it is just, one, then fine. But then I usually try to focus and get at least three. If it's 25, and some weeks it really is, that it is 25, and as I sit down, because there's so much that's happening in my life. But I let Spirit guide how many I put down on that paper when I do a gratitude journal. And there are so many people in my life right now that have been a part of changing who and what I am. I look at, for instance, how many people have been involved in this radio show over the years. We've been on the air, we're going on 4 years, I think it is now. I have been involved in it in one way or the other for a good many of those years, but not all of them. behind the scenes, actually starting with that theme song, then moving behind the scenes a little bit to answer phones and help post information in the chat rooms, and share, you know, people that are on the phone so that they don't get missed and things like that. And doing all of that has helped me get a background to have been able to take over the show just over a year ago and to become the host for it and to know how to handle phone calls, how to handle technology networking the way it's supposed to, how to handle shows without any guests as today is scheduled. A lot of that had been a part of my training behind the scenes. And it made me grateful that all of those experiences happened because it gave me a chance to learn from them. And, you know, just hearing that, or just doing that does not necessarily, you know, with somebody else having it happen, actually, doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to be able to tackle it right away. I've had to actually experience some of that stuff. In order to actually know how to handle. Sure, I saw Jan, I saw Barbara, I saw all of them being able to do that when they were doing the show. But that doesn't mean I could just turn around and do it myself. But I've had some fantastic mentors, and I don't know about all of you, but it is so cool to have somebody to watch, to look up to experience through their eyes, life. I think without my coaches and mentors, I would really, really, really be lost in life. Because I know they've been able to experience things before me, and it gives me the opportunity, like I said, to experience it through their eyes. So I'd like to ask you today, you know, who are those people that have been a part of your life that if you could go back through years of your experience, whether it be school or camps or family situations, the good and the bad, who might you thank for your experience? You know, I look back on my grade school years, and I had some teachers. I went to a Catholic grade school, and I had some teachers that were pretty strict folks. In those years, they could, you know, pick you up by the scruff of your neck and put you in your place. I didn't have those experiences, thank goodness, but some of my classmates did, and I watched that, and I knew what I didn't want to have happen. I knew that if I mouthed off when I got home, there was going to be a heck of an experience there. So I made sure to follow the directions as much as possible and follow the rules. And I was grateful for those teachers to have those rules in the classroom because I knew the expectations going in. And I didn't have to worry about whether I was following the rules because the expectation had been laid out at the beginning of the year. You know, there's one particular teacher that used to literally pin one of my classmates up against the door more often than we could count. And, you know, she is alive to talk about it today. I've reconnected with her on Facebook. To be doing well and good and have a wonderful family and, survived all of that, that when we were kids, we're like, oh, man, she's so mean. How are we ever going to get through this? But that experience taught us a lot. I remember particularly a third grade teacher that I go back and I think very often of something that she did that made a difference in my life and the lives of every one of my classmates, I'm sure. Each week, this teacher would take the name of a different student and would put it on a piece of paper, and she would have everyone in the classroom, whenever they got the chance and thought about it, write something good and positive about the student of the week. And, it made us think about, we had some bullies in class. Every class, I think, does. And we had some people that we didn't all get along with so well for whatever reason. They were loners and didn't talk much. Other ones were bullies and talked way too much. And again, every classroom has that. But it forced us to find something about that person that we were grateful for, that was positive, that showed they had potential to the world. And the one thing my teacher wrote on that paper for me was the word perseverant. Sister Teresa, what's the word mean? She wouldn't tell me. She said, go find out. Good teacher. So, of course, that meant going to the dictionary and looking it up. And what do you know? Until I found out what the word meant, I was not going to rest easy. And she was right. I was very perseverant and still am to this day. So every time something starts to fall apart in my life, I am able to look back at that third grade classroom and remember seeing her handwriting on that sheet of paper. And it still, to this day, spurs me to move forward. I've tried to find her. I've tried to find some of my other grade school teachers because as I searched around on Facebook recently, I wanted to do a grade school reunion. And I located a lot of my classmates. I really tried to find some of the teachers. And I found a couple of them. And I've got phone numbers or names to try to locate a couple of the other ones. But they're not all available. So I may never really be able to thank them for how they've impacted my life. Another teacher that I had saw some real potential in me, and I love math. I love reading, and I loved English. Those were my three classes. Social studies, geography, history, nothing. Any of the social studies. Not particular interest to me. I couldn't seem to remember dates. I couldn't remember places. That was a struggle. Struggled doing it. But I had a seventh grade teacher that knew what I was good at and what I liked doing, knew what I wasn't so interested in doing, and used that to an advantage. Because if I got my homework done, she allowed me to use a calculus book that she had. And I got to learn a little bit about calculus before the next time I saw it, I was in college. Did I understand the words in that book? Not really. When I got to college calc, I didn't remember much of anything that I got in that seventh grade book. Because it wasn't a seventh grade book. It was definitely a college book. But because she let me go ahead and learn something new about a subject that I loved, I worked harder to get the things I didn't like done and out of the way. And they had to be finished. And I had to show them to her that it was really done, not just, I'm going to fill in some answers to get to my fun stuff. You know, because the minute things slipped, it was like, okay, no, can't use the book now. Got to study more. So that was just things that I remember in grade school. I go into high school, and I had a teacher that kind of killed my interest in math. It was for geometry. He would mark me down for putting extra steps in my proofs. So it was like, didn't like math anymore because I couldn't do it the way he wanted and get the good grades and continue moving the way I expected to be moving. But again, that experience taught me a little more about being perseverant and persistent. Because any time he'd try to mark me down, I'd go back and say, why, what? And why does this not follow your rule? And why are you grading me down? Because it ends up with the same reason. And sometimes he made sense because he was looking for certain proofs, certain lines to be in it, because that's what we had just learned. And sometimes I took, you know, easier ones, or it took more steps, things like that, to get to the answer. So sometimes he made sense, and sometimes he didn't. And then I had to argue my points, or debate, or discuss, or whatever. Again, teaching me to stand up for what I believe is right, and teaching me to express who I was and why I did this. So even though it may have been a little bit of a traumatic experience, I am still grateful today for it. I had a science teacher who, interestingly enough, it was earth science, and it overlapped with me being in the journalism classes and writing for the newspaper. And many of you have heard me say this degree is in journalism. And now I'm in school for sign language interpreting as a second career. But with the earth science classes, I wanted to be there. Actually, first it was chemistry, then it was earth science. And I wanted to be in the class, but I couldn't be in it because it was only offered 7th hour, same time I was working on the paper, which was my priority. But I wanted to do the science. So what she'd let me do is come up the days we did experiments, do the experiment, and then read the book on my own or get some of the lecture notes from somebody else. And my newspaper advisor let me do it. So it was a nice win-win situation. Earth science was a little tougher to be able to do that, though, because pretty much I really did have to be in the classroom every day to get the information from the lectures. So we kind of had to end that. Once again, to get what I felt I needed and what I wanted, I had to find a solution to a problem. And I look back at that, and I thank Ms. Diedrich for that opportunity. I thank Ms. Lewis for that opportunity with the paper. I don't remember my geometry teacher's name, which is interesting. It's Jerry something. I remember his first name. I don't remember his last name. Is that interesting? But if I could go back in time and thank them for all those things that they did to make me a better and a stronger person, I want to do it. And November's a good time to put out thank yous. Sure. But wouldn't it be interesting to surprise them in June when it's not a official, quote-unquote, gratitude month? So again, I ask you to think about who has been a part of your life that maybe has changed you. maybe in a way you didn't expect. Maybe in a way that challenged you more than you would ever have wanted to have be challenged. So, again, if you'd like to be part of this conversation, please give us a call or kick in on Skype. The phone number is 347-205-9074. Again, 347-205-9074. We also have a chat room open at the bottom of the Blog Talk Radio show. We also have a Facebook group called Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. And at the top of that, I have a post pinned where you can put in anything that resonates from you on the show, either now or later if you listen to it archived. I know we have a pretty big archive listener audience, and I am very grateful to you for as well, because you keep the numbers of this show up and running. And it's not always possible for people to listen during the day, especially on a Monday when they're at work or doing their other projects. But to all of my listeners, I'm grateful too, because it's giving me an audience to which I am able to share my gratitude and express what I have learned over the many years. Let's see, back, let me think, first years of college. And, you know, as I go through life, my first years of college, I worked on the paper. It was weird because in some ways, I originally started school as a computer programmer. I had had some eyesight issues when I was a teenager. It forced me to delay getting my driver's license by a year because the doctors were afraid that something could go wrong with my eyesight more than it was, and they didn't want that to happen while I was behind the wheel of a car. And my parents didn't, and I didn't. So it got delayed by a year. So when I went to college the first time, I worked with the Department of Vocational Rehab and tried to determine a career that would best suit what was happening with my eyes, being some way I could be successful. I wanted to be a writer. I wanted to be a journalist. And DVR at that time convinced me on my interest list and taking all these cool tests of ability and all that, that it would be better if I was a computer programmer. Okay, fine. I figured someone older, wiser, more experienced might have a better idea what I'd be successful at. Now, most of you know probably that people who work on newspaper and journalism don't typically make a lot of money. Now, if you want to write for the National Enquirer or you want to write for something that's satirical, maybe not quite as factually honest, you can make more money. I fully admit that, and it's not something I ever want to do. You could offer me, you know, $1 million for an article that was not truthful, and I would not take it. That's me. That's just my standard. And I've been able to figure that out for myself. There are other types of stories I will not write. I've been asked to. I've tried to. And it doesn't work. And again, even those people that asked me to do that, I need to be grateful to them, because they gave me an opportunity to figure out for myself where I draw my line, where I decide that something's right or wrong for me. That doesn't mean it's right or wrong for anybody else. It is just for me. So as my college years went on, after a year and a half, I was in my second semester of programming. At midterms, I was 5 of 6 programs behind, and I'm sure I've talked about this on the air before. And we couldn't figure out, nobody. The tech labs, my instructor, the program itself, nothing was able to tell me what was wrong with one of my programs. And until I got that one fixed and operating, I couldn't move on to the next one because they built on each other. Skills. And finally, one day, and I don't know how exactly, you know, we looked at the program backwards, forwards, let it run, told me what line the error was on. We couldn't figure it out. It turned out to be a comma. Now, most people don't think of computer programming relying on punctuation. You think of English relying on punctuation, right? Nope. Computer programming does. Engineering does. Running a ship. Just about everything is related to something on the level of punctuation in some way or another. So we finally found that comma. I dropped that class at midterms because it was at a fail. It was the only class I actually dropped out of without having a medical excuse that I did recently in college. But the only class I actually said, I can't do this anymore, and got out of it. And because of that, again, I learned what I couldn't do and I didn't enjoy doing. And I went back to my journalism because that was what I wanted. And I had to fight for it a little bit. But finally, DVR said, okay, because you're not obviously going to succeed in computers, so we might as well let you go back to what you enjoy and what you're good at. So I went back into my journalism. And the funny part was, we got a new computer system partway through my college career. And often we had to, somehow we had got bad motherboards in the networking. And so the company, instead of coming out, sent us new boards and told us how to fix the computers. The boards were readily accessible. They were swap-out type things, surprisingly, because it was dedicated for journalists. Most of my colleagues had no interest and had a huge fear of fixing those computers. So every time we needed something to be fixed, guess who ended up doing it? They called me. I put in extra hours. And it was actually pretty hilarious that I ended up doing that. In college, I never had an interest in broadcast or in my print journalism. I didn't think I was a speaker. Here we are today. So the people on that paper way back then, even they have changed my life. Many of them are still my friends, and I still connect with on a fairly regular basis. And it is amazing what those people taught me back then about finding out who I am, again, what I'm capable of, what I want to do, what I can't do. And there were times where I said, well, I'm not touching this computer here. You want me to do what and go in what box and move what little piece? No, there's too many little pieces here. And then they had to send the tech out. But there were a lot of times that it was fairly easy to do, and I thought nothing of it. And I think back at those people, and I express gratitude now to them for what I experienced then. You know, and I hope some of them are listening. Some of my colleagues from way back then are listening. And even if they're not, you know, it reminds me, like I started at the beginning of the show, it reminds me that I need to sit down and write some thank you notes, I think, for those experiences. And I'm sure those people will look at the note and say, wait a minute, what's this about? Is everything okay? Because that's the other side of expressing gratitude. is sometimes when people get a note that they don't expect, they think something's wrong. And wouldn't it be better if they received thank yous from you on a regular basis? Or an acknowledgement of some kind. If they received that from you on a regular basis, they wouldn't think it was so unusual when it did come. Okay, so I get out of college. That becomes my own life. You know, it's time to move out. It's time to get an apartment. Have a roommate. Deal with people my parents had to deal with on a regular basis. The utility company. The grocery stores. The doctors. The pharmacists. All these people that somewhat overwhelming when I first did it. How about you? Can you think of the first time you had to schedule your own doctor appointment? How about when you had to take that prescription into the pharmacist? Now, what did you do? Did you panic? Did you call mom and dad and say, how do I do this? Most of us, I think, do. And how many times have we thanked our parents for what they have taught us over the years, what they've provided? As I say this, I know I don't do it at all. You know, now, what happens in these recent years? Yes, I have. But do I thank them for what happened back then? I had a pretty tough childhood, in my opinion. That's just my opinion, maybe, you know. Like my grade school years, my parents had some very strong rules. They had some expectations. They laid down what the rules were, and I best obey them. That was it. Or expect punishment. I've seen a lot of kids that that's not the case nowadays. And that's okay. You know, hopefully they will learn something else from their experience. For me, it was the interesting one that I can't go anywhere near these days. And we were gathered as a family at 6:30 in the morning around the breakfast table because my dad was leaving for work. We'd jump in the shower. You know, we'd totally ready for work. We basically brushed our teeth and came out for the breakfast table in pajamas. Sometimes we changed, sometimes not, depending on the time and when we really got up, and when we had to be out the door for our bus, for school. But we sat around the table and all had breakfast. Mom made it. Mom didn't usually eat when we did because she went back to bed when we got done. Because she was up until midnight, long after we were in bed, typically. She was then doing the laundry or was cleaning the house, doing something. You know, so she didn't usually eat with us, but she was there and she made breakfast. And kids were responsible for being at the table with my dad for breakfast every day. We were also expected to be home for dinner, unless there were some previous arrangements. You know, maybe I'd stay at school for math club or future business leaders or something, and you know, there's a football game afterwards that I wanted to stay for. You know, then that's a whole different story. Or we were having a tournament or something, you know, after school that went to the evening. You know, then, of course, we were not expected to be home. Arrangements were made. But essentially, every night, too, we were all gathered around the dinner table together as a family. Didn't always talk to each other. We were all there. My parents allowed me to do a lot of things that I wanted to do, extracurricular activities, things like that. I wasn't involved in sports much. I did softball 1 year, but and volleyball for another. But for the most part, I was into the academic extracurriculars, future business leaders, I mentioned Latin club, math club, Dungeons and Dragons, things like that, that had activities and competitions and all that. And the deal was, if I could, one, be home for dinner, and two, get myself to and from the event, then I was allowed to participate. So very often, I took my bike to school with me, or I walked, you know, if it was raining in the morning, I'd take the bus to school and I'd end up walking home. Occasionally, my folks would pick me up, but for the most part, again, that perseverance that my third grade teacher recognized in me continued through all my life. Because in college, again, when I wanted to do something, when I wanted to be able to participate in things, I found a way to get there and back, even though I wasn't driving and I didn't have a car on campus. I wanted to be in the church folk group. So I strapped my guitar on my back, I jumped on my bike, I went across campus, and I went up the street to the Catholic church so I could be a part of it. There's a lot of that same thing. There's a lot of that same determination and that attitude that I was taught through all of my years. And again, I am grateful for those people. For those, at the time, seemed like little things. But as I talk to you and share with you today, I know they weren't so little. They were really pretty big, monumental things that impacted my life. I literally grew up in a sign language group. Started as a 15-year-old kid, in a group that performed sign language to music. The person I learned from was twice my age and just turned 65 this year. As I'm 49, you know, there was that huge age difference. It didn't matter that there was. I was taught to sign. I was accepted for who I was and what I was determined to do. I first learned sign. I was in a church folk group. I was playing guitar. I was doing a little vocal work, but I saw somebody interpreting the mass, and I was bound and determined to learn how to sign, do part of it. That meant stepping out of the choir for a bit, the folk group. That meant being on the platform of the church, which a lot of women didn't do back then, but the interpreters did, and the choir was up at the corner. So I slipped out, learned to attempt to be graceful in the process. Sometimes I wasn't quite as graceful. To stand up out of my chair, be quiet, go up to the other part where I was interpreting, come back, all of that. You know, and to be a part of it. Again, my parents let me do that contingent upon getting my homework done and being a good student and all that. There were times that I spent the weekend at then my sign mentor's home so I could learn the reading and the songs for. I learned them Saturday night and did them Sunday morning. I still wonder how that happened. And that person started a sign singing group. And somebody else introduced me to the group. I wasn't even initially invited. This day, I think, is dating that. This person, until it no longer suited what I was doing in life. But I learned a lot of sign language then. It was English based, it was English word order. And now I'm struggling to change that in my classes to become an interpreter. Again, I have that basic structure. Because there are people, there are deaf folks who want English word order, who want English-based signs. And so I'm capable of giving that to them. So can I be upset that I learned the wrong, quote-unquote, sign language? No, I can't. Because of that structure. I can only be grateful to them and the people who taught me so long ago about that communication mode. You know what? Because I never would have known about it. If it were not for that group, that person who I happened to see at church, I would not even know, probably, about deaf culture and sign language. You know, that's a part of that, even today. I don't know what I'd be doing. I'd be lost. Maybe I'd still be a journalist. So I think I've pretty much done a lot of talking about this. I don't see anybody calling in at this point. There were a couple guests in the chat room. So if you want to call in, again, 347-205-9074. 347-205-9074. What I would like to do for you all is to do a little bit of a guided meditation. And as I mentioned, this actually came from Chris. She will be on the show in a couple of weeks, Chris Nelson. And I heard her do this at a drum circle this week. She did a guided meditation and was part of a drum circle. And it incorporates some of what I've been talking about in that it's being grateful for those who have allowed you and helped you become who you are today. So if you're willing and able, I would invite you to find yourself a comfortable position, a nice comfortable chair. If you're driving, you'll have to catch this in the archives and be able to do the meditation by yourself. And you get to the archives through the same link of which you're listening to it live. So that's the easy part about this show. And if you'd like to listen to the meditation or any part of this again, the archives will be there approximately 10 minutes after the show ends. So this meditation takes about 10 minutes or so to go through, and I invite you to be a part of it. Might modify a little bit of what she did because of how it came through to me. But since Chris wrote such a beautiful meditation, I wanted to use it and wanted to share it with you today. You could have wanted her to share it, but things did not work out for that with her schedule. So she'll be here in a couple of weeks, that first Monday in December. So this is a Thanksgiving meditation. I invite you to settle in within your seat, whatever kind of seat you might find comfortable. Align your spine to a comfortable position. Rock your hips into a comfortable place. Gently circle your head a few times, relaxing any tension in your neck and shoulders. Rock yourself into a relaxed space of ease. If you are comfortable with it, close your eyes. If not, just look down and gently rest your eyes in one place. Now take a wondrous deep breath of life, deeply breathing into your being. And exhale slowly, letting go of all discomfort. Breathe in again deeply. And exhale all disruptive thoughts. Relax into the chair, into your center. Relax into your heart. Relax into that space of your heart. Feel the warmth of your heart center. Your heart beats the rhythm of love, the rhythm of the divine. Feel that ever-present rhythm of life and love. Easily you find yourself flowing into this rhythm, knowing the truth of you, the divine, within. Feel your heart beating. Feel the song of your heart. Slowly keep breathing, feeling at peace. Feel that peace within. Feel the love in your heart. Feel the peace within. Peace in your heart. You are at peace. And you are as one within. So now, while at peace, and in your relaxed state, I wish to take you on a journey through a story of your life so that you might experience your story of gratitude and peace and find where you have your people, places, and things of gratitude that just shared with you from mine. The story begins in another place and time. As you're listening to my voice, your body is gently being transported in peace and safety to a new room and a new chair. Slowly and peacefully, you are shifting into your new surroundings. And you're now beginning to notice that things feel differently, and you are no longer in that same original chair. You are now sitting in a most comfortable and cozy chair, relaxed and comforted. The chair fits you perfectly, places you at ease. And as you look around in your mind's eye, you begin to wonder, exactly where am I? You slowly raise your head and look around at your new surroundings. You see before you a beautiful table, and on it set a feast of bounty. It's a Thanksgiving table laden with luscious fruit, savory delights, roasts, gravies, food of every type that you can imagine, and all of your favorites are among them. Look around your location. Maybe it's a cabin with a fire glowing inside of you, or in a castle way up high on a mountain. Maybe it's in a field with all of nature around you. Or maybe it's your current home with family around. The aroma and the beauty of this bounty laid before you fills you with its sensations. Each of your senses is heightened. As you look around the room, you notice the smells, the colors, the feel of your skin. Are you warm? Are you cold? You notice it. You also notice again the aroma, the beauty of his bounty laid before you. As you take one bite at a time, and you are grateful for this blessing and all that it represents. Now, before you serve this feast of abundance and take in all of its sustenance, I want you to take a journey back upon this year and all that it has given you. If you'd like to do this with each bite that you imagine, that's fine. If you want to just sit back and look over that year, that's fine too. Think about the lessons you've learned, you've freely given, as well as those you've received. Think of all the love you gave in many different ways. Smile. A hug. Patient listening, prayers of wholeness and for healing, love that you had no thought of receiving, love and the tenderness of others, and love that was received by you. Remember, too, those small acts of kindness. Within your heart, hold that feeling of gratitude. Embrace and receive the warmth of that love. Breathe in the gifts this love has given you. Take a moment to look around, comforted in this place. Remember to keep breathing deeply. Slowly and gently. Now continue your journey backward through the year. Remember the creations you formed and expanded, the new ideas that you put into action, or the seeds of desire that you fed over time that turned into beautiful new paths and new doors, or action that you took that generated new abundance. Maybe you cultivated new methods from ones learned before that opened up corridors never seen or thought of before. Remember the expansion received from your creation, the expansion of your mind, expansion of oneness. Hold gratitude in your heart for all you've created. Breathe in deeply and embrace these gifts by your divine nature. Now you continue down the moments you experienced this past year and reflect upon the joy of life as you felt it. You reflect on all those joys you felt. You continue on this path of experience. There's the happiness expressed on the moments filled with zest. Look at those pictures that it's created in your mind. those joyful times you share with others, their smiling faces aglow with the joy and uplifted feeling. Hear the nonsense. Hear the laughter. Hear the frolicking that surrounds you. And the lightness that you felt. That lightness of joy and happiness. Feel that joy now. Gratitude. Embrace the gift that joy has given you. And let your heart accept these gifts with gratitude. And last but not least, look back upon the gifts of wisdom, both given and received. Share insights upon arrival during spiritual discussion, or new thoughts that were gleaned through inspirational messages, or awe you received in the stillness and the quiet of your mind. Maybe the wisdom you experienced is the beauty you beheld watching snowflakes as they fell, or flowers and leaves as they bloomed. All of that reflecting oneness in their perfection. Perhaps it is a moment of struggle. Friend lit your way, or a stranger provided a wise message that you needed to hear that very day. Perhaps one of those struggles set you to consider something different in your life. Take in all that wisdom that you gave and received. Embrace with gratitude these gifts of wisdom. Accept these gifts and claim them as yours. It is a time of Thanksgiving, and the table is laid with gifts of gratitude for all of the love, joy, creation, and wisdom received and given this past year, and even through the rest of your life. You can take this back as far as you'd like, because it's your journey, it's your time, and you set the direction you want to take. You can do that now. Maybe you can come back later if you'd like and revisit the journey, take a different direction. It's all up to you. The feast is before you. Just as it was before. And now you've returned to that comfy chair you were sitting a minute ago. You can enjoy all the fruits of your labor. You are seated at this table of bounty, and then you see all the people around you who shared these gifts with you. You see all the lives you've touched and all the gifts you've given and received. You see all the smiling faces and feel the love of it all. Slowly, you recognize one face, and then another, and each one brings new joy to your heart, and it seems that the love is unending. If you wish, you give each person a hug. One. Or a greeting of some kind. Because now you understand that giving is the same as receiving. You express to them the gratitude you felt for them being in your life and for you being in theirs. The love you felt, the joy expressed, embrace it all within your heart and feel the gratitude. Take all of it in. Continue to take it all in. Your loved one's faces, the feeling of love, your strength, your gifts of love, joy, creation, and wisdom. Embrace and receive these gifts in pure gratitude. Feel a glow with the warmth of the love you exchange. Feel it warmth inside. Continue again, that breathing. Feel the gratitude. Feel a glow with the warmth and love you exchange. And tuck into your heart these gifts you've freely given and freely received. They are yours forever. And they never part from you. You will always hold them in your heart, in your spirit, in your being. You may not know how they've changed you, but that doesn't matter. Just know that they have truly become a part of you, because as you remember them, at the minimum, they're part of your brain and your spirit. As you may have relived them and thought of those experiences again, they're a part of your heart and may even be part of your emotional being as you reacted one way or another to them. Whatever it is, rest in the knowing that all was there to support you some way or another. Rest in the love and the warmth you've received, and give thanks in the silence for a moment or two. You are now full and fulfilled emotionally, physically, spiritually. You are filled from the feast of the food and the feast of love and gratitude. You're ready to burst at the seams. Now the chair is becoming a bit stiff, and you know that it's time for you to move about a bit and return to the room in which you started, to the place, to the time, to the chair where you originally started. So please come back into focus, as you will, keeping all of your memories and the love in your heart. Return to the room and gently open your eyes when you're ready to return to the process. And as you do, open your eyes. Shake out your body a little bit. Feel the warmth and the comfort of the room where you're back. Roll your head around again a bit. Once again, I thank Chris Nelson for that guided meditation and allowing me to use it. You know, I made a few modifications, but overall it was hers. And I thank you for allowing me to share it with you in this audience as a part of my life and who I've become over the last year, especially. Things have changed so quickly for me. And so much of who I am is because of this show, is the people I've interacted with and I've learned from over the year. People that I've interviewed, that have sometimes turned the interview around on me and asked me questions. There's a couple of those. Ivana was one of them, I recall. So I want to tell you that a week from Friday, I will be continuing a discussion about gratitude on another show. And that show is Kat Sturtz. She's been on my show here before. This will be on Friday, November 28th at 10:30. It's called Fast Action Friday. We're going to end up pre-recording it just because of some things that are happening with the holiday there. But it will be broadcast essentially live for you that day. And you will be able to hear and experience some other gratitude pieces from my life as I share with her and come on the other side and be on the other side of the mic of being interviewed. That's always a challenge for me because I don't get to, yeah. I have to think a little more on my feet. For me being the guest, me being the host, I can plan a little better. But our theme on that show is growing gratitude. So we'll be talking about that. I'll have the link probably on the Purpose Talk Radio page. I'll also have it on mine. So feel free to check in on my personal profile if you're a friend of mine. I may even make it public, probably will, because Kat will probably share it with all of us. So next week, like I said, we have Patricia Sopcich, and she will be a part of, she's been a part of my life too. It's amazing that I've had some people return to my life lately that used to be there and have gone away and have come back again. Let me back up to Kat's show. It's 10:30 Eastern time, and it's pretty much just a 15-minute interview. I'll get some inspiring information, motivating, fast action tips for you on gratitude. So hopefully you will be able to listen in on that as well. Like I said, we'll put the links out for you. So, in the meantime now, we have Patricia next week. We have Chris in 2 weeks. If anyone would like to be on the show, again, please feel free to send me a message. I've got a list of people. I just need to get scheduling them. But I'm happy to schedule people who come and contact me as well. You can do so by sending me an email to Cindy, Cindy, at PurposeTalkRadio.com, PurposeTalkRadio.com. Also, if you're interested in sharing products or services with our audience, send me a message for that as well, as we have a marketing plan program available for you. This show does air every Monday at noon Pacific time, 3 Eastern, 8 in the UK during daylight savings time, 9 o'clock now until they change their clocks, as we changed ours in the United States a couple weeks ago. The archive for this show is always at the same link as the original show. I invite you to put any comments in the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group, anything that resonates with you. The thread for this show is posted to the top of the page until the next one comes in and I replace it. I did not post anything in it as far as comments this week because I'm doing the talking and it's kind of hard to post it in there while I'm talking. So I might put something in a little bit later. I wish to leave you with an affirmation, as we do every week. And I would like that affirmation. I'm going to go over to the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations page and at least type that in for you so you've got that. And let's see, the affirmation for this week that I would like to share with you as it comes to mind is, I am grateful for all things, whether they are seeming to move my life forward, whether they are seeming to be positive or not at the time, because I know I will learn every experience. So again, the affirmation, I am grateful for all things, whether they are seeming to be positive or not at the time, because I know I will learn from every experience. So ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for being a part of Purpose Talk Radio, listening to the show again. And until next week, I wish you all soul blessing as we close out with the song, I Am Who I Am by True Trinity, TRUETRINITY.com, by Julia Clark, Rachel Martinez, and myself. The closing song and the theme song to this show, I Am Who I Am. Soul blessings to you all this week.
I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me, I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.